Stephen, Justin, and Jill here. Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella with Justin Sleva.
And Jill DeWitt.
Broadcasting from sunny California and Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Today, Justin and I and Jill talk about Finance Friday like we do every Friday.
Yay!
Give us a quick, fun highlight that makes people not want to turn off this podcast, Justin.
Oh, man. 40 properties priced and checked in the last 48 hours.
Wow.
I mean, that's why you dial into this, right? Is to know that we have these deals going on and that we're all in it to win it. And man, I'm smoked right now. Smoked.
Of the 40, how many are you, how many do you just love?
I greenlit 4 this morning. I have 2 packages of 10. So that's kind of misleading when I say, hey, there's 40 properties, but 2 packages of 10. I'm still pricing them out. One of them I can't find comps anywhere for. It's essentially 10 lots from an old abstractor in a mobile home park in Oklahoma. He wants $2,000 a piece for them. I just can't find if there's meat on the bone on those or not. And then another 10, it's from an oil company that they're like, it's in the $100, $125 area acre per range. And they have 10 properties there. They want $150 an acre. So I'm just going through and checking those.
Seeing what I've ever done with big companies like that have turned out to be home runs for us.
Yeah. Yeah. They were Reclaim Mineral Act. Texas has a where you get rid of the mineral rights, the state essentially sells the surface to you, and then you get a 50% bonus of the minerals if you hold on to the property in case they do anything with them. So, yeah, one of the newer Land Academy members brought them. It was on his first mailer. He mailed one county. They said, hey, we'll go up a little bit on the price. We'll take this one, but we've got all these other properties. And so he got those back. And he's like, what do I do? And I was like, we got to look at them.
Yeah.
That's why we're here, right?
That's great.
Exactly.
Hey, before we get into the actual show, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Bob asks, how do you verify legal access for rural land? Do you just look at maps and see if a road goes to or through the property? Even if you see a road slash trail, how do you know if it has property has legal right to the road slash trail? If there is no road slash trail, I'm assuming there still could be legal access, but how would you know? Any help on this would be greatly appreciated.
Go ahead, Justin.
Okay. On that one, first thing is obviously look at Google Earth. Parcel Fact pulls up. You see if there's a road, a named road tends to be a named road because it's recorded somewhere. And then from there, you know, you ask the question, could there be not a road and still access? Yes, there could be an easement. And a lot of times you'll find that in the different deeds. And a lot of the southern states we work at, you'll see the adjoining deeds will have that stuff in the bottom of it. So they're recorded in, easements are recorded with the county. The roads, you'll see those either platted or they'll be, you know, named on the maps if you see them there. But that's how we do it. So,
I mean, I think in addition to that, you want to call a county and see. There's a lot of different things you can do. There's a lot of things you can do right in the beginning on your own to check. Mm-hmm. And chances are, if you change between satellite and street view and Google Earth, and you can see a trail that is overlaying the streets that are platted in, then you're in good that, like, this is just my opinion, don't go on it, but you're probably 95% of the way there.
Yep. Yeah,
that's really with super rural vacant land they have to be concerned about.
Right. Yep. No, that's that extra part is that super rural vacant land. You'll see an old platted road into it. And if you can't get a street view on it, you know, you might want to get a photographer out there. If it's a home run deal, get somebody out there and make sure they can actually get on the property.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right. So, you know, we've had a really good acquisition week also.
Yeah.
Nice. We greenlighted a bunch of property. We're being very selective right now. So
I love it.
You want to talk about some of the highlights? Like what deal sticks out?
Well, what was fun was I took some time off this week. I was at Universal Studios on Wednesday, or no, Tuesday. All day on Tuesday, I was at Universal Studios. So I'm actually looking at the deals.
Oh, no.
From Universal. And we're just a few weeks in and we know our areas, you know, right away you just start. Yes, no, no, yes. And I'll tell you.
That's exactly what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Justin. There's a few that I need to make sure that I'm conveying to everyone. When you have an asset that you're buying for 70 and you want to sell it for 80,000, that's not enough meat for me. So not quite what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Buying it for 30, selling it for 80. Those are the deals.
Let's talk. Yeah.
Exactly.
No, you're exactly right.
So I'm having to educate a few people about that. Like, okay. not quite what we want to do here. Keep going on it.
Yeah.
Ryan. So that's why I'm able to do it for myself on really easy and go, yeah, no. Yeah. Okay. We'll look at that one.
Yeah.
You know? And then our people have done a really good job too. They've been really doing their homework and submitting good comments about here's why, here's some comps. And I love it when they, because that's what I want. I want them to already know it's a home run, but there's one little thing they're not sure about, or they flat out don't have the money. They know it's a home run, flat out need the money. And I'm like, heck yeah, that's why we're here.
Yep. So. No, you're exactly right. We've had a guy that he submitted 5 properties so far. He sent the 6th one last night and sent the 6th one. I'm not going to lie. I looked at his name and he's like, oh, I've got a deal for you. And I'm like, I got to tell this guy no again. I haven't even looked at the deal yet. Exactly. And I'm like, man, I've got to tell this guy no again. He's going to be pissed. And so I look at the deal and I'm like, damn, he hit a home run. And it's in Cocosino County, Arizona. 40 acres, it's $11,000, which is still good deal for raw land, but it has a trailer, it has septic, it has 2 storage buildings, and it has a trailer house.
Wow.
So I'm like, fantastic. I'm like, well, there we go. The trailer house has some damage. Somebody stole the copper out of it, but you know, you still have that stuff there and it has a 500 gallon water tank. So now you have everything you need for an off-grid cabin sitting on place so you can sell the dream.
That's great. You know?
All right, now we need to run to the bank now. Go ahead and get it under contract or make sure the contract's done. We need to get this title. Here's my title girl there. Let's get going. So he'll know this is greenlit when he hears it next week, but he already knows that. It got greenlit this morning. But it was kind of like you said, you know, we look at some of these and we want people to understand that we're not trying to make, you know, a couple bucks. We want to make sure you have the funding for home runs.
Exactly.
Or solid doubles. I like solid doubles.
Yeah. I mean, here's what I had to explain to somebody this week. For us to make any money on it, you know, we're financing 100% of this acquisition, not financing. Mm-hmm. We're partnering 100% of the acquisition. There's got to be some dough. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're going to outlay 30 or 40 or 50 grand and get 10 back,
yep,
it's hard. It's really hard.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing, yeah, you've done everything you want, but that's hard for new people to really understand.
Yeah, I think the big disconnect for me is when I see some of the guys throw these $300,000 and $400,000 properties up here that are going to make, you know, they're making $100,000, and you're kind of like, man, it's just at this time with the influx of the new investors coming in and these $10,000 to $20,000 deals. I mean, I could say use that same $300,000 or $400,000 on these 20 and 30 and just have them siloed out. And from a business perspective, you know, my risk is nil at that point because I've siloed everything in it. But I'm also going to make higher return too. And so that's kind of been a tough one I've seen a little bit here as of late. Some other home runs we had. I had a 22 acre in Oklahoma. It's 10 miles outside of a big metropolitan area, and the lady just wants to be done with it. She's in North Dakota. They're getting it for like 11.5. It comps out at like 60.
Yeah.
So, you know, just a solid deal. And this guy's bought in 2 with us so far in this county. And he did some consulting with us. We lined him up in that county, said, hey, here's how we price it. So we've walked through this whole thing with him, and for him to say, tell him, hey, you're going to get 2 properties back pricing this way. And now we're on the 3rd property he's got back. And then he got a big package back too that we're comping. So it's just, you know, it's like, there you go. It works.
There's nothing bad about this, and it's a lot of fun.
Totally. Yep. Yep. One of our first client, the guy that bought that 80 acres with the Russian gun, the Cold War stuff we talked about. He just sold his first 2 properties this week, so it was pretty cool. He paid $12,500 for both of them and sold them for $24,000 bucks. So
perfect.
We didn't fund it. He did it on his own, but you know, he had us there backing him up in case he needed it. So it was pretty cool.
How could you do deals like that and just not get the bug?
He called me. I think he was going to quit his job. Yeah. And I was like, don't do it yet.
Exactly.
Hold on.
Wait.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I like this Georgia one. We're talking numbers. I like this one. There's one we have right now in Georgia. It's only 1/2 acre.
Okay.
We're going to buy it for a little over $21,000.
Okay.
Our manager is estimating $100,000 value.
Wow.
Steven's comments are, let's just move on and sell it for $65,000. That's going to be good because the comps in there are.
Actually, it's reverse. He said 65 and I said, no, it's worth 100.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. Well, because the 1/2 acre lots there are selling for $150,000 in this area.
I very frequently, I wonder if you do this, Justin, I very frequently, probably on half the deals we're doing, I increase the purchase price. I mean, not
the sale price.
The sale price, yeah. Not a dramatic amount, but.
Yeah, to a point, yeah, up some. What I'm having to sell some guys is just, hey, let's not hold out. If they get an offer, let's take it and run.
Yeah.
So we can keep. We all know that one.
Yeah. So that seems to be the more. It's like, oh, I think we can get a little bit more. Now they're getting a little greedy. I'm like, let's just keep moving.
Yeah.
Keep moving.
There'll be more. There's more mail.
Yeah.
We got a couple properties in that it's very obvious that these. They're from non-members.
Okay.
They just pulled the property off the MLS just to see if we would fund it for them.
I got a guy, he shopped and he sent a mail out on this piece of property, came back, and I'm running the comps and I'm like, I find this property and it's listed and it's a big piece. It's a great piece of property, but I'm questionable on it. The guy had it listed for $750 and he had it for like $450 or $460. So there's still room on it. And it's in Missouri for 700 and something acres, 725 acres, all timber. It's got roads. It's full of woods, a little bit of rolling terrain, just beautiful hunting country. And I'm like, man, we could subdivide that, but that's going to be a little bit longer of a play. So, but when I looked, I found it on the MLS and I said, hey, did this guy tell you had it listed anywhere? He goes, well, he told me he sold a couple parcels off it because it was originally 900 acres.
Oh. So
700 and something what we were going to try to buy. So
was it listed, what the property that you received?
It was listed for about $250 more than we were going to get it at. So they had it for like $750 and we were about $500 an acre on it is where we had it at. So it's kind of like, yeah, not enough meat, but you know, at that much money. Right. So we'll see what we do with it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
People, those are dreamy deals, you know?
Yeah.
They're fun to work on. They're fun to look at, but in the end, they usually don't get done.
Yep. Yeah. That was my goal for 18 to do one of those big deals and subdivide. That was the one goal I didn't hit in 18. And I'm like, I'm trying to decide if I want to do it in 19 or not. And I'm just kind of like,
you might not.
Yeah.
That's what I'm at. Do I really want to spend the time in 6 months, however long it takes to do all this, or just move on?
Just keep moving.
I started down the subdivision path, the parcel split path in a lot of cases, not all of them, but a lot of cases many times, and just pulled the plug after 2 months.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's just like, you know, I know we can double our money on this.
Yep.
What are we doing?
We can triple it elsewhere.
Yep.
Yep.
So, no.
Exactly. Yep.
We're, cool. For whatever reason, we're gravitating toward commercial real estate right now. Actually, prepared to send a mailer out.
Nice.
It's just too easy. It's not easy. I shouldn't say that. It's just there's so much margin.
Yeah. In
commercial real estate deals. It's a longer haul. Mm-hmm. It's usually a 6 month hold. That's what we're budgeting anyway. Mm-hmm. But you can make a couple hundred thousand bucks for a deal.
Yeah. Are you going in and buying it by square foot? Or are you going to go ahead and offer just like you would normally price for the market of raw land?
It's all based on square footage, mm-hmm. but the zoning type is it's imperative.
Okay.
Based on like what's around there. It's a different, I'm in the back of my head starting to formulate Land Academy X.0 commercial.
Okay.
Whole different methodology. It's I used to do it a lot of years ago, but things have changed. So there's a lot more data available. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah. My house buyer that I work with down here, he buys a lot of commercial. That's their main business is commercial. They build up office buildings and strip malls and things like that. Mm-hmm. And their pricing methodology is by the square foot. And so I'll hear him. He's like, oh yeah, in that area, it's $1.10. If you can get it for $1.50, you're still doing great. So, and I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm trying to pick up while I'm sitting in the office and he's talking to somebody else. He's kind of picking up what they're saying, but that's how they price it. And there's like, oh, that dirt down there is not worth 70 cents a square foot. And I'm like, square foot for dirt, you know, and I'm just trying to figure this out. So, but yeah, that's a cool thing. It's neat how all this stuff kind of layers on top of each other. You accidentally fall into
something. That's how they lease it. You know, that's how they lease commercial real estate is, you know, and then there's gross and net and it's a whole different thing.
Yeah. That was like the question last week where they asked about pricing apartments and us saying, oh yeah, we do it by the door, by assessed value, just to get the conversation open. You know, there's the textbook way of doing it. And then there's the way that we're going to get in the door and make the conversation happen and get these properties.
That's it. There's what they teach you in school, which is you can pretty much throw it out when you're done.
Yeah.
When you're in front of a computer in front of RealQuest and it's staring it back at you, then there's that. Which you really need to know.
Yeah. No, you're right. MIT has a commercial real estate course. It's a 6-week course that they teach you commercial real estate, you know, investing, things like that. And I was like, man, I kind of wouldn't mind doing that. I'm kind of busy right now. But if I could put together 6 weeks to go to an MIT course and learn commercial real estate investing at that level, then I could probably have some real estate guys take me serious in the institutional side, say, oh, I went to MIT commercial, you know, real estate investing, just kind of a little spot on the resume. But at the same time, at the end of the day, it's what RealQuest is going to spit back out to you and manipulating that data.
I bet in that course, this is what they teach. Well, we just talked about industrial price per square foot, triple net versus modified gross versus full gross, you know, versus getting a zoning variance and frontage square footage is way more valuable than back end square footage and highest and best use, those concepts, you know.
Yep.
6 weeks is not a lot of time.
Yeah.
I guess I would throw in, if I was teaching that course, I would throw in how the regions differ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how the South may be different from, you know, and how why shipping is so important, the difference between like heavy industrial, light industrial, multi-use, flex space, and all of that, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it.
Six weeks is enough time to actually get some stuff done.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be enough to get something, like a different background to it. You know, it wouldn't be, you know, you're not going to be fluent in it, but you could have the conversations to start formulating. And we know our stuff well enough that we could take what we know and manipulate that with what they're teaching us, the institutional side, and make that mesh together to where you can bridge that gap.
Yep.
So
I wonder, you know what, Justin, have you ever sat through, you know, the, what is it? What did we do? 80 hours of real estate school to get your license? Mm-hmm.
I paid my little brother to be a real estate agent.
What's that?
I paid my little brother to be a real estate agent.
There you go.
I don't do it.
Right.
Not like, take the test, but just.
Yeah.
Well, we took the test. We just didn't activate the license, but I went all the way through just to see what goes on and what they talk about. Uh-huh. And sure, I did come away with some interesting knowledge, if anything, knowing what they know, but they talked nothing about what we're really doing, about getting the deals done and working with the sellers, working with the buyers. You know, it's all the legal things. We're going to dissect a contract. Well, that's great.
Nothing was there.
You know, and it was just like, so I'm wondering about this course. I personally would be afraid to invest 6 weeks of my time.
Yeah.
I might come out having that same feeling like, great, there's 6 weeks of deals I could have done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm with
Never
you.
Never mind.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's how I feel about houses right now.
So I was, this is a funny story on like, cause I would spend, if I had 6 weeks to teach a course in commercial real estate, the one of the full weeks would be on valuation, like valuing a piece of real estate that's income producing. So it's a funny story. I was sitting in a bar. Imagine that a bunch of years ago.
I'm not putting you on blast. I didn't.
he paused and we both like.
We wanted to. We weren't going to do it. I was going like, let it go. Let it go.
All right. Yeah, that's all right.
So, and I'm sitting next to the guy who's now the president of Kitchell, which is a huge construction company. And so he's coming from it. And there's this hotel, a motel that was for sale, like in the greatest location in Old Town Scottsdale there ever was. Just came up. The sign, we all saw the sign. On the way to the bar that day, because we're all in the commercial real estate businesses in this whole bar. And so there's me, this international commercial contractor, and then there's a bunch of like commercial real estate brokers. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to buy all you guys a drink. Let's play a game and value the piece of real estate. And were you there for this?
I do not recall. I know exactly who you're talking about.
We all came back within... This is, for about a $4 million piece of property. We all came back within like $150,000 of each other based on replacement costs, just the value of the dirt plus the improvements on it and like capitalization rate leased up, capitalization rate vacant, and like all the stuff that's got to go on with a motel specific and then a little bit of goodwill because it's right in the middle of Old Town. Mm-hmm. And it was just amazing to me how fast that and similar our prices were.
Oh, wow.
And it's all valuation.
That's how you and I, we play that game in the car.
Yep, we do.
We play that game every time we're somewhere, we're going to an open house. It's like, all right, let's take your guess. What's your guess? What's my guess? And we're pretty darn close.
Yeah. Yeah, we played that all the way to the LA car show.
Yes,
yeah,
we did.
That's right. Forgot
exactly.
About that.
45 minutes of it all the way through this.
That's
the
hood. Right.
You're like, it's a bad part. You're like, it's $600,000 for a house.
Exactly. Look at the bars on the windows. Oh my gosh.
Yep. That's Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Okay. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
$600,000 will get you in the Dallas area, and what $6,000 will get you there.
Yeah,
you
know? No, it's crazy, the difference. And, you know, as we start seeing the pricing for people on their different stuff and evaluating their stuff, as you get these deals in, you'll see that as well, that people evaluate the raw rural land or the infill lots differently. Infill lots, I see a lot of different pricing techniques going on, and I think some people are just throwing a dart and trying to, you know, say, hey, we're guessing.
A lot of dart throwing in real estate.
Yep.
Not in our office. And I mean it. Yeah. There's a lot of dart throwing. Yeah. Yeah. Used to piss me off. I'm okay now, though.
Yeah.
All right, Justin, give us a a bit of advice. Let's say a bit of advice if you're brand new at this, and then after that, some advice after you've been doing it for a while and how to get a deal done with Plum.
Okay. Bit of advice for somebody that's new, don't be so hung up on the dollars and cents. So if you price out a county and you come up with $610.70 and I come up with $606, it's not a big difference. Or $590, it's not a big difference. If you look at 30 to 35% or 25 to 35%, it's really not going to affect your end offer that much. Don't hang up on the black and white. Just get it close enough to start the conversation and put mail in a box. That's it. Just pick a county, put a price out, put mail in a box, and get going. For somebody that's been going a while, don't be scared to work back from your business and price your stuff according to what you need your business to do. You get a lot of guys that get comfortable in a certain asset class, start layering it up. And if that means, hey, I've only bought up to 20 acres, on your next mailer, go ahead and throw 40 and 60 acres in there just to see what happens. You know, worst case scenario, you've got 40 or 60 acres now to sell versus 20. You know how to do that. But you get a lot of people that get nervous and get hung up on that next step, whatever it may be, whether it's price, area, you know, whatever it is, just you've got the concept down. It works everywhere. So just continue to replicate, rinse and repeat.
Awesome advice. Join us next time where we discuss another interesting episode of the Land Academy Show. Now's the time for Justin to plug his company.
Okay, thanks. Plum Investment Group, partnering to make our partners successful. And then we are hosting a Texas Live for land investors in Dallas-Fort Worth area. We have a live event going on. It's going to be March 2nd at Topgolf. So if any of the local Texas guys that listen to the show want to come and join us, we'll be there. It'll be an all-day event with a couple different land investors from the area. And it'll be a good time.
Cool.
As always, at Land Academy, you know where to find us. See you tomorrow. Thanks.